the loss of the production also and the increase in demand also meant that the gas leaving the state slowed to a trickle. Since 2016, Texas normally exports about 6 billion cubic feet a day during the month of February. But due to the storm, exports on East Texas pipelines, which generally go to the northeast or the eastern markets, dropped to a historically low level. And in fact, as you can see there in the middle toward the top of this chart, 5 out of 16 exporting pipelines reported reverse flow, actually resulting in a net import on a day of 0.3 BCF on February 18. Exports from West Texas, which go to the Mid-Continent, Chicago, West Coast, also had substantial drops, down 95% from the historical February average. So with the loss of supply and rising demand, gas prices, of course, were pushed to at or above all-time records in many places. The Houston Ship Channel, which had been trading at about $2.98 per MMBTU in the days before the storm, traded as high as $400 per MMBTU on the 16th. Waha in West Texas traded at $350. And although not shown on this particular diagram, it was reported that One Oak in Oklahoma reached what might be the highest natural gas hub price in history at $1,192 per MMBTU on February 17th. So with the limited production, the increased demand, and the skyrocketing prices, it was a certainty that sellers were going to lose supply. And because the loss of that supply was caused by this unprecedented storm, the quintessential act of God, it was a certainty that those sellers were going to rely on force majeure provisions in their contract to excuse performance. And with the prices being what they were, the huge spread between contract prices and spot market prices, it was a certainty that gas purchasers were going to challenge those declarations of force majeure. Litigation commenced before the end of February, and by early April, there were over 30 force majeure-related lawsuits pending in various states. And new lawsuits have been filed every month since the storm, and they continue to be filed. The central issue in all those cases is the question of whether and to what extent the winter storm constituted an event of force majeure under the contracts at issue and excused the seller's failure to deliver the contract quantities. And I want to take a step back and talk a little bit about force majeure. What is force majeure? If you look it up in Black's Law Dictionary, there's the thoroughly unhelpful definition that it's an event or effect that can be neither anticipated nor controlled. As a defense to contract, though, that doctrine goes back all the way to Roman times with law concepts of vis major and vis divina, superior force or divine force, which were certain unforeseeable events that Roman law said would excuse a debtor from performance. The contract made its way into the Napoleonic Code in 1804 and also made its way into the common law in England and the Americas in the 19th century, really as a synonym for the doctrine of legal impossibility, excusing performance for acts of God and the king's enemies, as it was described back then. But regardless of its historical underpinnings and its roots, today, force majeure is a creature of contract. And the scope and application of a force majeure clause doesn't depend on general concepts. It doesn't depend on sort of common law doctrines, but on the specific terms that are in the force majeure provisions that the parties chose to include in their contracts. Well, what have courts said about those provisions in contracts? Force majeure clauses have been in gas contracts for decades. They have been very common. And today, they appear in the standard terms of the base contract for sale and purchase of natural gas developed by the North American Energy Standards Board, the NASB contract, which is the most common gas contract that's in use today. But despite this near universal use in gas contracts, there is surprisingly little case law discussing force majeure and the application of force majeure in gas contracts. And that may be due to the fact that the sender of a notice of force majeure today is likely to be the recipient tomorrow, since people are on both sides of these transactions. And it also may be due to the fact that we just don't have these events that last this long or that cause these incredible spreads between contract price and spot market prices that we saw during the storm. But whatever the reason, at the time Uri came to Texas, there were really only four principal cases out there addressing in detail claims of force majeure under gas contracts. And I want to spend some time talking about those cases.